well, I think it's probably more important to bring younger people out to it than even ourselves, because they're the next generation and they're going to be making the decisions as time moves forward. This morning we're in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. Barb and I moved to this area from Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 37 years ago. It was a small country church. Our son was almost 2 years old at the time. Money was really tight, both for the little church and for our young family. And we were able to pack everything that we owned into a small U-Haul truck. And we pulled our car. But in fact, when we looked in the back of the truck, it was only half full, the little truck. We put our car on a dolly to pull behind the truck. And the way you mounted your car is you drove it up onto the dolly, you put it in neutral, you put the handbrake on, then you strapped the wheels down, and then you released the handbrake so that you could go from there. I did it all just right, except I forgot to release the handbrake. And by the time we arrived in Hanover to our apartment, I had completely burned out the brakes, the rotors, I think I even ruined the drums. And so here we are, we're very young, very little in our checking account. By the time we paid for the security deposit on the apartment, the first month's rent, and got all the utilities up and running, we were about dry. And here the car had a significant amount of damage to it. The bill back then was $400 and some odd. Now we're talking 1986, $400. So in 2023, we're talking a couple $1,000 worth of damage. And so for the first time in our lives, we put it on a credit card knowing we didn't have enough money at the end of the month to pay off that bill. And everything being as it were, we had been youth pastors, then we were small country pastors, then we came as home mission pastors. We had actually taken a cut in pay every time we made a move. And so even thinking about the minimum monthly payment on our credit card for that, it was freaking us out. But, you know, we just were trusting that the Lord was going to provide and didn't know how it was going to happen. But somehow or other, by the time the bill came due, there was enough money in our checking account. Now, I kept a very close eye on our budget because you had to. And I knew where every penny was coming from and where every penny was going. But I didn't know where those pennies came from. And it was just affirmation to us that we had obeyed the Lord and we were doing according to what he had called us to do. That's not the only time he intervened in our bottom line, but it's one of the more dramatic times that kind of stands as a memorial in our minds. You know, Jehovah Jireh, he's the one that provides for us. And that leads us to today's faith fact. God gives me what I need. God gives me what I need. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Father, we would love to just sit here and condemn the Israelites for complaining all the time. But there's a little bit of family resemblance between them and us. And we'd like your help in getting that worked out of our system so that we become people of praise and worship, not grumbling and complaining. So use the word today and work it deep. You know, sometimes when I'm washing the dishes, all that's needed really is a rinse of some kind. But other times, I got the scrubbing pad out, and I got the spray there working, and you got to get a little bit of Clorox involved and all. And still, you got to just let it soak for a while. And I think that's kind of the way we are with our complaining spirit, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit soak in us today. Use this word powerfully. And may we be different, better people, because we spent this time in this word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Israel had marched out of Egypt quite boldly. After that 10th plague, when the eldest in all the Egyptians' family had died, the Egyptians were so anxious to see them go, they gave them gifts of gold and silver and clothing, certain things. And the Bible says they marched out like an army. They marched out boldly. And they're feeling pretty good about themselves. Well, a couple days after they left Egypt, of course, the Egyptians decided, we want them back. Let's go get them. So the army went out after the Israelites. You know the story. They were backed up against the sea, and the sea parted, and they walked across on dry ground. And then somebody said, oh, no, they're coming after us. Ah! And all the Egyptians were coming across, but then God let the water loose and cursed sploosh. He destroyed all of their enemy. Don't you know that Israel had quite a worship service on the other side of the sea? Miriam grabbed a tambourine, and she led the ladies around dancing and singing that, you know, God had hurled the chariot and the rider and the horse into the sea, and they had been delivered. And, oh, man, they are feeling so good, and they're so joyful in the Lord, and they're so filled with faith. Nothing can stop us now. Well, a couple days pass, and they run out of the food that they had brought with them from Egypt. And they're starting to get a little hangry. And they're looking around, and not only do they not have any food, there's not a McDonald's, there's not a Burger King, there's no, you know, exit signs that say food and fuel this exit. There's no Texas Roadhouse. It's just desert. Yeah, there's not even like lettuce or something to eat. And so they're getting pretty upset. And what happened to that praiseful spirit? We'll follow God forever. Hallelujah. What a great God. Woohoo! Like the food supply, it was all gone, all that praise and excitement. And now they're angry. And they say to Moses and Aaron, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food. Pardon me? You remember the story, don't you? Their taskmaster was beating them, and they were crying out to God, oh, we could only be delivered from Egypt. This is so miserable, so mistreated. Oh, if only we could go back to Egypt. Wouldn't that be one? We sat around pots full of meat. We had as much as we wanted to eat. Oh, wasn't it wonderful back then? That's a lie. It wasn't wonderful. Who's the father of lies? Yeah. And they're eating it up. And they're believing it, and they're saying it to one another. And they've gotten into a different spirit. They were in a spirit of worship when they saw things were going good, but now it's hard, and so they've degenerated into a different kind of a spirit. They didn't enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. They barged in with grumbling. God, we don't like the way you're doing this. Oh, you sent us out here to die. We were better off before you even messed with us. I wish we'd have never heard your name, God. Whoa. That's some pretty heavy stuff right there. And then they charged God with nefarious motives. You have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Not only are you not a good God, you're a nasty God. You brought us out here to hurt us. You brought us out here to harm us. Now, when somebody has hurt you, one of the things you do is you assign them wicked motive. Everybody does something wrong sometimes. But when you really want to fight, you meant to do that. You meant to trip me. And that's why I fell. And I was just backing up. Don't you know I would never do? Oh, yes, you do. You're just like, you're nasty. From the time, you ever have somebody that kind of remembers everything? You know, I remember back in 1973, you, this, and it's just to you. And when we want to make somebody feel bad, it's not just, okay, it was my fault and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Oh, you meant to. I'm miserable and it's your fault and you meant to do it to me. And when you're accused, maybe you didn't even do it, but when you're accused of it, and then when you're accused of doing it on purpose, how does that make you feel? Well, imagine doing that to God. Lord, I'm in pain. These things are not working out. You're a mean God. You're a nasty God. We are assigning to him. We're not saying, Lord, I'm trusting you through the valley. It's I'm blaming the valley on you. The Lord delights to bless, but he will not put up with disrespect. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And one of the ways you do that is you spit right in his face. Things could be better. I deserve better. I'd mentioned in prayer earlier, we're kind of like bipolar all at the same time. It's true. You know, if we all got what we deserved, where would we be? Yeah. So thank God. But, oh, I deserve better than what I'm going through right now. I see the neighbors over there. They never go to church. Do they celebrate Halloween, let me tell you. And look at them. They're all healthy and doing well, and they just added an addition on, and wow. Then there's me. I know you're waiting for it. Gloom, despair, agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, agony on me. Some churches think that's a hymn. Some Christians think that's their theme song. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, how difficult the day, give God the praise he is due. The deeper the valley, the sweeter the praise. The most valuable praise in heaven comes from the deepest valleys. Anybody can praise up on the mountaintop. Mountaintop praise is cheap praise. Woohoo! Everything's great. I just got a check in the mail I wasn't even expecting. Woohoo! And oh my, everything fell into place. I'm feeling good. And oh, what a wonderful day. Everything. Cheap praise. Lots of that flows up to heaven every day. But when you hear it coming up out of the valley, that sweet, rich, deep baritone voice echoes up between those granite walls, and it comes up into the throne room of God. I think all the angels just hush themselves. And all of heaven just kind of drinks it in. I made my roast yesterday in the oven, and I put it in the slow cooker for the rest of the morning for lunch. We're going to have our roast beef. And after it cooked, I opened up the oven, and I just stood there for a while. You know, I turned the oven on, and my back leg was gone. Doo, 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 doo. Oh, I just loved it. You know, the hands and everything. Ah. That's deep valley praise. If you're in the deep valley today, we'll pray for you. I feel for you. But you have an opportunity to sing like nobody else up to the throne of God today. To say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, it hurts, but I know you're good. I trust that you're, I know that you're good. All my circumstances are saying, oh, the devil is there. Why don't you curse God and die? You know, but he's a liar. and I will not believe his. Oh, you're so much better off in Egypt than you are. No, I wasn't. I was lost, I was dead, and I was destined for hell. But Jesus Christ came by when I was at my worst. He saw something in me I've never seen in myself. And for some reason, he has cherished me enough to save my soul. And if it hurts for the rest of my life, I know there's coming a day. I'm going to walk across that threshold. Ooh. There will never be another pain in my body. There will never be another bad day. There's no such thing as frustration in heaven. Hallelujah. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You know, I hope that your parents raised you right. I hope they didn't put up with back talk and smart alecky attitudes. Because there's nothing worse to be in a house that's ruled by a out of joint toddler or a disgruntled teen. Talk to the hand. Excuse me? As long as you're living under my roof, that's not going to be the attitude in this house. You know, you dress them, you feed them, you gave up some of your dreams so that you could fulfill some of theirs. And what do you get? Ooh, yuck, I'm not eating that. Well, all my friends get to go to the moon. I'll send you to the moon. Yeah. So imagine how good God has been to us. Hey, you know, let's just start with it. To have been born in America. You know, anytime you get discouraged, anytime you wonder, go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's, walk down that aisle and see all those cordless drills. You could own another cordless drill. We live in America. We live in America. But then we offer up to God what? Oh, I wish I was here with you. It's not good. Don't talk back to the Lord. Verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. That's a key line, isn't it? I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So Moses was to take a message back from the Lord. Look, God knows you're all upset and you're hungry and everything else. He's going to amaze you. Tonight we're all going to eat meat. And in the morning we're all going to have bread. And everybody looked around at the desert. And somebody even said, even if we butchered all the livestock we brought, well, there still wouldn't be enough for a bite for everybody to eat. Where in the world is God going to get enough meat to feed all of this crowd? Because we're talking somewhere between 2 and 5 million people. We know that they had 600,000 fighting men between 20 and 40 years of age. So you extrapolate that out. They had wives, they had kids, they had parents. So, you know, close to 5 million people. Where are you going to get that much meat to feed all of these? And yet God said, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. And I love that he gave a couple hours gap there for everybody to consider what God said. And to consider it's not possible, humanly speaking. And that night, quail started flying into the camp. You ever see a quail? They're not very big. How many quail would it take to feed a hungry man? How many quail would it take to feed a hungry teenager? So if you've got 5 million people, you know, maybe some of the ladies could eat half a quail. I don't know. But, man, you get a hungry teenager. Whoa. And they kept coming and coming and coming and coming till they had enough for everybody, till they were full. Now, I've done some hunting in my day, and one of the things I've hunted is dove. And I've even seen whole covey of dove. Sometimes you walk into a field and you put them to flight, and there's quite a few dove there. I ain't never seen 5-10 million birds of any kind all together in one place at one time. Where in the world did God get all these quail? I mean, did he just kind of take them from all over the world, and they've been in a flight pattern for 2 weeks, some of them, because they're coming from afar, and others, you know, I don't know, but he got all that. Maybe he just pop, 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 pop. They just created them up in the air. I don't know, but man, the people are going nuts. They got quail everywhere, and so they're grabbing them, and then they're cleaning them, and they're cooking them, and they're eating them, and it's, oh boy, I never tasted such a delicacy in all their life. Best tasting quail ever. And it's all good. And then in the morning, while they're still kind of getting over the quail from the night before, there's this stuff all over the place. It's like a wafer kind of a thing. And they just supposed to go gather it. And you know what manna means? Manna means, what is it? That's why they called it manna. What is that? Nobody's ever seen it before. It never had appeared before. But there it is. And so they're still kind of picking their teeth. Got a little quail stuck there. And then they're gathering up all this stuff for bread. And this stuff is amazing. Manna is amazing stuff. First of all, it appears, but then it'll disappear after the sun comes up. It just melts away. But it'll fill you. And it tastes like, it got a little bit of sweet taste like honey to it. It's delicious. You can bake it. You can fry it. You can do all kind of different things with it. It's an amazing substance. So they're having fun with it. And they're we fried ours today. Oh, well, we boiled some and it turned out good, you know. And they've got all this stuff going on. And it's just like, this was not possible. There had never been manna before that day. It kept coming for 40 years. And there hasn't been any manna since. God knew how to meet their need at that specific time. You may have a problem. Maybe nobody else has ever had your problem. You can't even dream up a way that this is going to work out. There's no way. There's God. He can quail you. He can manna you. He can do things that's never been done before. Remember in the Old Testament, they were having a battle, and Joshua said, "Let the sun stand still over here, and the moon over there. Moon, don't you move." And it didn't move for an entire day. God can do what? It's amazing. God gives me what I need, whether I feel it or I don't. God is giving me what I need. God gives me what I need. Every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights. I didn't do this. It's not somebody else. It's God. He has provided for me. God gives me. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. He gives me. It's His joy. It's His blood. That's His heart. Stop blaming Him and start thanking Him for what He gives. God gives me what I need. He doesn't just take care of everybody. He takes care of me. So there are some things that affect all of us. So we get some rain when we need some rain. You know, the crops grow, and okay, we all need that. But there are some specifics I need. Everybody doesn't need them. And sometimes it's just what I want. And He has my name, and He has my address, and He knows just how to give things to me. God gives me what I need. The Bible says, if I ask for a fish, He's not going to give me a stone. But if He does give me a stone, I'll know that's what I really needed, because He's just wiser than I am. What am I going to do with this stone? Well, just wait a minute. You'll figure it out. Maybe a quail will come by. Ah. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. God gives me what I need. Sometimes what I need is patience, not what I think I want. And so what I want isn't coming just yet because he's working on something else, my character. And that's the more important thing right now. Maybe he's trying to teach me a lesson. So he gives me what I need. Again, this manna stuff was so versatile, and it was delicious. It did a lot of different things, but there were some among them that manna? Really? We had manna for breakfast. We had manna last night for dinner. We had manna for lunch yesterday. Manna, 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 manna. I don't like manna. And the Bible says the rabble among them started to complain about the manna. The rabble among them started. Did you know that complaining is contagious? And somebody just said, you know what? I don't want any more manna. Well, you know what? Maybe I don't either. We don't want any manna. That's something else around here. And then they didn't pray. They didn't ask. They just grumbled. And from this, we learned a couple of things. First of all, if God says it's enough, it's enough. Well, no, Lord, I need, don't you know? Yes, he knows. I don't know if you've ever tried to school God, but it doesn't work. If God says it's enough, it's enough. Bread and water, that's going to sustain you till you get to where you're going. You do this journey right, it's going to be great. They didn't do it so right, so it was 40 years. Bread and so on. So here's how we approach God. Be thankful for what he has given. Ask politely for anything more that you want. And then wait patiently. That's the formula. If you are thankful, same with your kids. If your kids are thankful, they ask politely, and they're willing to wait patiently, there's nothing you wouldn't do for them. We had an early Christmas when we went down to Kayla's place. We took the Christmas gifts down with us, and we had our own little Christmas and gave the gifts to the grandkids. And the one grandson said to my wife, Meemaw, oh, you really went overboard. This is more than enough. Guess who Meemaw's favorite grandson is right now? You know? I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't bigger gifts next Christmas because there was a thankful, harder spirit there, you know? But when you get the, oh, is that all? No, I got something else for you. Come here. You know, I have a special present just for you. It's called an attitude adjustment. Yeah, bend over. But yeah, God gives me what I need. We made it this far, didn't we? And we're here. Whew. Only by the grace of God. And so we give him the praise. And one of the keys to life is as we mature, so do the gifts God gives us. God has been very good to Joel and Barb Everhart. And we've gotten a lot further than we ever thought we were going to because of the goodness of God. And I have some things in my possession that I would have never asked for because they're too audacious. But God, out of his goodness and kindness and in his timing, he provided them for me. And you go, whoa. Has anybody ever gotten something for you never would have bought for yourself, and it just kind of blew you out of the water? Whoa, that's amazing. Or maybe there was something you dreamt of when you were younger, and you just thought it would never happen, but it has. You need to remember, God provided that, and give him praise. And some joy in that. And if you've ever provided something like that for somebody, They didn't expect it, but you gave it to them. And they lit up like a Christmas tree, and it just made you feel great. And you thought, wow, this is the best thing. This is better than getting stuff. It's more blessed to give than it is to. It really is. It's called the joy of giving. Don't rob God of the joy of giving. We do that when we say, just all I'm going to get. No, he got more than I got, and I'm a better person there. Yeah. See what you get next Christmas, you know. But when we cherish what he gives, it inspires him to give more. And when we give what we've received away to others to bless them, oh my, that really lights his fire. And he loves to give out of the joy of giving. He enjoys it. And we give him joy when we receive it thankfully and when we are blessed. Please, fight that fight it's one of those days. Oh, it's one of those weeks. I'm having one of those lives. Woe's me. It's also, no. Thank you, God. Find something to thank God for sincerely and lean into it. God loves to bless his obedient, patient, thankful children. But he disciplines his brats. Now, that doesn't mean every time he disciplines us, we've been a brat. We go through discipline because we're his children. And we go through discipline because he's building in us. He's strengthening us. Not all of our trials are earned. But boy, we have deserved some of them. Because of attitudes and he disciplines his breath. So just, you're down in that valley. Remember, I have a chance to sing that beautiful music up to God, that worship right here. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Thank you for this moment when it all is falling apart and it's all so terrible and hard, because I know you're listening to my worship. You're listening to my praise. Wasn't that whole thing between the devil and God concerning Job? Well, mess with him and he'll curse you to your face. Well, no, he didn't. And so what happened to Job in the end? Twice as much as before, because that beautiful baritone, sweet music up from the valley into the ears of God. Verse 17. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much. And the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. I'm telling you what, this manna stuff is really amazing. Not only does it disappear when the sun comes up, not only can you fry it or boil it or bake it or whatever else, but, if you liked gathering it, you could just gather all morning if you wanted to. And when you got home, you had an omer full. And then when your lazy brother got home 2 hours ago and you say, how much you got? Well, I got an omer full. Ah! What does that teach us? They weren't earning it. It was a gift from God. They had a part in it. You and I have a part in it. We get to go to work. We get to do different things. We manage the stuff. We have a part in it. But we didn't produce it. God blessed us with it. And now we need to be responsible with it and so on. Those who relax and trust the Lord will always have enough. Miller's Market there on 194 as you go into Hanover. It's on the left as you're going to Hanover. They've got a thing on their window. They write different inspirational things. And for the last month it said, gratitude makes what you have enough. Gratitude makes what you have enough. And if you've gotten that little bug lately, that flea from the enemy that says you need something better, whatever, be thankful for what you have. Ask politely of the Lord and be patient. But don't let it get in under your skin. Don't let, I have to have that or I can't be happy. You start getting a bad attitude toward other people and toward God and toward yourself. Those who relax and trust the Lord will always have enough. Those who push to the front in order to get ahead will be disappointed once they get there. I thought this was going to make me happy. I thought I really wanted this. Why is this so hollow and empty? Trust in the Lord. Did you know that tithing is a form of praise? It recognizes God as our source. The Bible talks about you pay the tithe. You give an offering, but you pay the tithe. The tithe recognizes it all came from you, God. This is your part. And so that marks it. Lord, I trust you with everything, and I thank you that you're the giver of it all. Taxes. Let's talk taxes just for a moment. What if taxes were optional? What if taxes were suggested? Your suggested tax is. Now, I would give something because we need to have an army. We want to have strong national. I like that our roads are paved. On my way in this morning, I noticed that they repainted the lines along. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I noticed because somebody drove over the center line and blurred them. But I thought, good. Today when it rains, tonight when I'm on my way to youth group and it's all dark and rainy, I'll have a line that I can see on my way in. Thank God for the line painter. So I would pay some tax. I would not voluntarily give what they suck out of me, but I would pay some taxes. How about you? And especially when I saw how they used some of the money. Ah! But I pay my taxes. Why? I fear the government. I love our country, and I fear the government. Don't you love the Lord your God? And don't you properly fear him? And know that he is in control? So it's our choice, I guess. I mean, we don't send board members around checking on who gives what or anything like that. And God's not going to do that. It's your call. Are you going to be generous in heart? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to give to him what's due? Those who relax and trust the Lord will always have enough. When you're too dumb to take the emergency brake off and you rip your car up, but you've trusted in the Lord, you always have enough. It'll always be there when you need it. Would you stand with me this morning? Sing about that name, Jesus, and appreciate what he's done for us.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation. Freedom from the chains that bind us.
There is no one like him, and you found him, or should I say he found you. You're safe. He will take care of you. He will watch over you. He will do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think. If you've got an anchor today, if you're dredging bottom right now, it's cause for worship. You know how they say with the stock market, buy low and sell high. That's how it is with worship. Oh, when you're low, give it all your worth. That's the best praise of all. And trust him. Trust him. Lord, I know that this will work out for good because you're at the helm. Father, we give you praise this morning. Thank you for being so good to us. Hallelujah. Lord, there are a lot of folk who would love to be able to come to church this morning, but we are here. Hallelujah. There are a lot of folk who would like to have for lunch what we're having for lunch this afternoon, Lord. You're a good God. And Lord, we just praise and worship you, and we thank you for all that you've done. We do ask you, Lord, for our friends and loved ones who are suffering today. We feel for them. We know you feel for them, God. And we pray that this will be a healing day, a comforting day. Lord, we pray you'd help us to be part of that process, that we could comfort them, that we could cheer them a little bit, that we could give something that would help, that you might be honored and glorified in it all. Lord, may you help us with this message. May we take it with us. And remind us of it the next time the storm hits. And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.